Yes, greetings to you once again in Jesus' name, and I trust that you are experiencing the blessing of God as you look to His Word and are feeding yourself with the bread from heaven. And I know we talk about this often on this program, but God's Word is so precious and yet so easy to neglect. And I just want to encourage you, as I have done before, to be in God's Word and be feeding yourself with the Word of God, and to get to know our Maker, our Father, and a holy God who created all things. I'd like to spend some time reading a passage out of the prophet Isaiah, and I just want to give you just a little bit of a history here so it'll help with some of the things that will be shared in here. Make it a little easier to understand and to see the message from this prophet here. Just very briefly, you remember that Israel became a nation. God brought them into the promised land. They became a nation, and it was very shortly after there was a division. The north and the south was completely divided, and Isaiah was a prophet in Judah, which would have been the southern portion of Israel. And you remember that the northern kingdom would have been Israel. And when it's talked about in history, it'd be Israel and Judah. And what this prophet lived through, he saw the dispersion of the Jews in Israel. They were destroyed, and they had struggled for years. Both Israel and Judah had struggled about trying to keep themselves pure before God and to obey the commandments that God gave. He wanted to make His kingdom different from any other kingdom in the world at that time. And so God was dealing with the nation of Israel. And there was much sin and much idolatry, and there was just many, many problems that was happening in that time because the people had turned from God and was falling into the ways just like the world that was around them. They walked right in their footsteps. And so God sent the Assyrians in. It was 722 B.C., and He sent the Assyrians in, and they destroyed Israel. And Israel was decimated. And this prophet lived through that, and there was a warning that he was giving to Judah so that they would not have to go through the same thing. There was much sin in Judah as well, but God did raise up some good kings during that time frame. And as you go through the history of that, you can see it's very interesting how God dealt with His people. But this prophet was warning Judah against the same sins and crimes that Israel had done, and the same fate if they didn't repent. So I'm going to read to you from Isaiah chapter 54 and just see the words of this prophet. He was crying out a warning to the people to keep their hearts towards God and to let Him make them separate from all other nations of the world. Verse 1 says, "Sing, O barren that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thine cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is His name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall He be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all the borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And you see, God here is trying to comfort his people. He knows that there's going to be some very troubled times because Judah had brought themselves to this place, and God was going to punish them, and he was going to discipline them for a short time, but he was assuring them that he was going to make it in the end. He was preparing his people through this prophet that was crying out that it's not going to be a total destruction, and to keep their courage and their hopes up, because God had a good plan for them. And you know, as you see Israel today, I don't know exactly what's happening over there right now, but I know in the past recent history, Israel has been tormented. They have been abused and threatened. Israel has been a target of many, many different countries wanting to completely annihilate and destroy them. And I know it's because they're God's chosen people. And, you know, since Christ has come and opened up the door for now the Gentiles to come in, we also can be adopted into be children of Abraham. And so we also have that blessing upon us. And it talks about the Gentiles in this passage here. And we have received the benefit through Christ Jesus that the Jews had. At one time, only the Jews were separated because they were children of Abraham, and the rest of the world hated them. And it's a spiritual battle that the devil has always tried to come against Israel, because he knew they were precious in God's sight. And now, because of Christ, it is enlarged. The borders have been enlarged, because now the Gentiles also can be grafted in to the heritage of Abraham, being a people that are in covenant with a holy, almighty God. And I know that's kind of wordy, and it sounds a little hard to understand sometimes, but what happens here is that God has told his people, I have a plan for you, it's a good plan. And that was applying to the Jews at that time, but it also included Gentiles, which would be us, which would help us to understand that God has a plan. There may be some very difficult and perilous times ahead. There may be times when we will see that this nation and other nations have totally turned their back on God, and there'll be some judgment for that. There'll be some consequence, but God has a plan. He wants us to hang on and to be of good courage, because he has a plan. It's a good plan. He's going to redeem us, and our righteousness will be from him. It's going to be him. He is our righteousness. He's the one that is going to cleanse us from every stain, and we have the opportunity to do that now through the blood of Jesus Christ and to walk holy with him, not by our own strength, not by our own good merits, but by the blood of Christ, the spotless Lamb of God. He came, Jesus came, and he lived a perfect life here on this earth. He was tempted in every sin, and yet he sinned not. And then he went to the cross for us, and he made the ultimate sacrifice that we could be children of the Almighty God, the God of heaven, the God who created all things. God loved his people back in this time, way before the cross of Christ, and he was telling them there is hope. And now after the cross, we have the same message. There is hope in God, in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so as you think about these things, may you have a grateful heart, and may I have a grateful heart for what God has done for us, and he has given us a lively hope, something that we can look forward to when he comes again, and his kingdom will reign here on this earth for 1,000 years, and we get to be a part of that if we will allow God to do his work in us through his Son, Jesus Christ. In the meantime, we keep our focus on him and our hope in him, because he is the Lord and he is good. May God bless you as you consider these things.